If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening we have the topic that you're all going to love, the gathering of eagles aboard the mother ship. Don't you love it? Anyway, I don't know whether or not you are aware of it. You probably are. But one of the names that we call the Earth-based volunteers is an eagle. You are eagles. And those who carry the responsibility of commander are known as the Legion of Special Volunteers, and they're called the Golden Eagles. So tonight we're going to be doing most of our show bilocated, and I'm going to be moving back and forth along with you so that part of the learning that we are practicing here in this dimension is how to live bilocated, conscious of being in two or more places at the same time. Because you are consciousness. You are not your place marker in time and space, i.e. your body. In fact, you have a roving gyrosphere of possibilities as to where you point your consciousness and anchor it. Having said that, this particular anchor point of your physical third density body is the only place in time-space in which the full continuum anchors down to the very, very densest frequency compression of light that would be your carbon-based molecular physical body, all the way up to the subatomic particles, the nanoparticles and the quarks of your highest manifestation of beingness. So that's why Earth is so important, because you're the whole enchilada here. Even though you're only aware of one-tenth of a tenth of your full capacity. So part of this ascension process is becoming more aware of your vaster presence and then practicing how to move in and out and dance with that and become accustomed to being vast and unlimited and uncircumscribed by form. Form is important, and we are learning how to modulate form so that we can appear in any number of forms in and out of different timelines, different periods of history, into the future, going back in time, so that we have a mastery of what's called multidimensional awareness. That is the purpose of our conscious training here in this dimension. And that's why it's so important to be consciously aware and to keep expanding that awareness as we practice together in each one of these seminar transmissions, which are directly from the Ashtar Command. I don't usually make a big deal of saying who I am or what I am or what goes on here, because that's not what it's about. But each time we do the voice of the Ashtar Command, Commander Ashtar blends with my consciousness and we speak as one, so that you have his transmission of consciousness filtered through my biosphere, my consciousness, which is located on Earth, and gives Commander Ashtar, if you will, a direct window into this dimension, since he has never had an Earth embodiment. This is the first time he tells me that he's had a direct extension into this world where he could actually experience it up close and personal, so to speak. So what I will be transmitting this evening, and we will be transmitting, will be a blending of many of the Ashtar Command commanders on the Star of Bethlehem, which is the name of our flagship. And we're going to be dancing in and out of these different dimensions as we proceed. And the show will be a little longer tonight since I don't have anyone coming up with a show right after me. So I've been given carte blanche to rattle on. So I shall do so. So take a deep breath and relax. Let the day and all the day's concerns roll off your back. Move your shoulders, relax them. And we're going to be beaming you aboard the mothership tonight. And it's a very pleasurable experience. I know that for a fact because I have been physically beamed aboard ship myself. And it's a wonderful experience. It's a blissful, rapturous, very, very joyful, loving, heart-expanding experience. And it's important to be in that open-hearted and peaceful state for us to be able to beam you aboard ship. If you are in an emotional, negative state of any kind, we cannot beam you up in that way because it would be too much of a shock to your aura. And it would derange your atomic structure so that when we put you back, you'd be discombobulated. So we have to be very careful in taking you when you're in a balanced state and in harmony in your various levels. So again, take a deep breath. And up we go. Just allow yourself to be translocated and find your feet landing on that soft, spongy, cushiony kind of floor that we have aboard our ships. Kind of has a little bounce to it. And just gain your sense of being there. Place yourself there in your visualization, in your mind. Just know that you're there, even though you're still aware that you may be sitting somewhere on Earth. Just let your attention transpose to the ship and leave the other location. Just let it go. Now you'll notice that you're in a very large room that I think resembles probably a 5-star hotel lounge, foyer, entranceway, lounge area, all of the above. There are beautiful futuristic kind of molded furniture that will come up out of the floor as it's needed so that everything appears as it's needed. It's not there as furniture, nor is it separated from the floor of the ship. It kind of comes up to meet you and to wrap itself around you in a comfortable way to accommodate your sitting or your lounging. That's probably the first thing you notice. You also notice that we have very beautiful colors. Everything is very bright and clear and beautiful. So you have a relaxing ambience, but also one that has a great deal of vitality inherent in it. You'll notice in the floor that we're upon that you can see all around the ship through the walls, which become for you translucent so that you can see through them. Although to the outer view, it would look like a solid surface of the ship. We are aboard a ship that has the capacity of modulating its frequency environment to accommodate a myriad of different beings from different dimensional realms and worlds. So that when you, from Earth, are aboard ship, everything accommodates your needs in terms of the ambience, the reality constructs, the refreshments that are offered, even the restrooms. Everything accommodates your expectation and need as an Earth being. The food that we serve replicates the foods that you like to eat, but everything is vegetarian. Although you would never know it, you would think our sizzling steaks are from the best Angus beef you could find in Texas, but they're not made of anything that would take life. Everything is created through a modulation of the DNA, and the particular base that we use, which would be very difficult for me to describe in earth terms, but we have a, should we say, a mother medium through which we generate the DNA that is able to replicate any type of foodstuffs for the earth dwellers in your case. So make yourself comfortable. Find an area that you would like to sit in and just sit down. We're going to have a little refreshment before we get any further on our journey. And you'll notice that there are some very lovely men and women who are attending us today. They look like probably your most beautiful men and women that you would see on planet Earth. They're all hotties, all a 10. They all look beautiful and young. And so do you at this level. If you look down at your body, you'll see that you are already beginning to modulate and adjust to what you look like aboard ship. So if you're in an elderly body, you'll see that you're quite young. If your body is less than a 10, you'll see that it is a 10. If you have any kind of infirmity, you'll see that here you don't have any at all. And you can perhaps find a mirror while you're on board ship, hopefully, and have a look at yourself and see how beautiful you are. In fact, I'm going to take you to your rooms later on so you can look in your own mirrors and see how beautiful you are. So I want you to pay attention to how you feel and begin to work within this dimension in which you live, believe it or not, more than you do on Earth. We are catching you up more and more and more into the higher levels, and so much of your training now is taking place aboard ship. And so much of the work that we're doing together is done aboard ship. And yes, it's blocked from your minds in most cases, because it just would be really hard for so many of you, myself included, to stay on this earth if we had total recall of how glorious it is here. But tonight we're just going to have at it and enjoy it and luxuriate in it and see how much we can experience and hopefully tether ourselves in some way that we can return more consciously when we want to, because there will be a time when we will not have to leave the ship, that we will have the opportunity to go forward with the next aspect of the mission, which will not be on planet Earth at all, but into the next universe. So that's something to look forward to. So you will find that they have given each of you a very beautiful crystalline goblet of a thick, fruity, perfumey kind of liquid. It's kind of thick, kind of like a, well, it tastes like fruit and perfume at the same time. How do you describe that? If any of you have tasted Sai Baba's Amrita that he manifests, it tastes very much like that. And he calls it the nectar of immortality. And I think that's a good name for it, because it has a tremendously vivifying, harmonizing effect on the whole body. And that is why you are being given this drink, because it will help you to adjust your vibrations and to hold them at a certain state of consistency at this level for as long as we want to be there tonight. So enjoy your drink and enjoy the beautiful starry view outside the windows or the sides of the ship, and enjoy looking around the room. Notice as many details as you can. Take a deep breath of the air in the ship. Isn't that wonderful? How do you describe it? Oh, golly. It's so fresh and vivifying. I think probably more than anything else when you're aboard a ship with the Confederation fleet is that you feel this tremendous vivacity, this vitality, this prana, this supercharged energy that makes you feel just absolutely great. So when you finished, you can take your time. You can get up slowly and just follow me down the hall. And I'm going to take you on a little tour of your living quarters. So we're going to be going in a cylindrical type of device. That's not really unlike your elevator, except it's more high-tech. That's going to take you to the floor in which you will find your dwellings. And so as we step into this immense elevator-like cylindrical sphere, we find ourselves gradually lifted, and we step out into another floor. That feels very much like living quarters because it's very quiet and not unlike a five-star hotel corridor. And walk down the hall and find the door that has your name on it. It will be the name that you like to be known by, whether it's your star name or your given name. It'll be the name that you want to see on your door. So find your door and walk in. No, you don't have to knock. Your room. In fact, you'll notice that as your intention goes towards your door, it begins to open. And you find yourself in a room, again, that has furniture that appears as you need it. The first thing you'll notice is that it has a tremendously calming effect as you step into it. And as you think that you want to sit, you notice immediately the environment responds to you and your chair appears up from the floor. Whether you like a lounger or a recliner, whatever it is you like, it's going to appear. If you think you want to recline on a bed, you'll find a very wonderful sleeping platform comes up and seems to wrap itself around you like a wonderful embracing cocoon. It just is so comfortable. And so you might want to play with your furniture a little bit. Think what you want to experience and watch it come up for you. Think of your table that you may like to sit, and there it is. And we spend a lot of time communicating through what we call a communication module, which you are familiar with sitting in front of your computer. But this just kind of dances like a holographic energy field, and you don't have to have a screen or a container. Well, you can imagine one if you like, if that makes you feel more comfortable, if that's more predictable for you. But we spend a lot of time with the communication module, which enables us to minutely examine anything we want to look at. It's much better than a browser and the internet because we can not only look at something, we can actually transpose our consciousness through this mechanism and step onto the surface of another world if we so desire. It has, let's say, unlimited capacities to mold itself to your intention and your need in service to this and a myriad of worlds. These are things that are so wonderful that it's fun to imagine the what-ifs and the possibilities when you get back into your daily life, because we have become accustomed on Earth to limitations. And I think one of the first things that you let go of after a while with us aboard ship is that there are no limitations here. We have unlimited ability to create and facilitate joyous experiences of open-ended life and creative endeavor. So we're going to go into the room now, which you might think of as a restroom. And yes, we have them for you Earth people who have Earth bodies that assimilate and digest and eliminate. And we also have other life species that do that as well. So we do have facilities for that. And as you step into this room, excuse me, you'll notice that there's a shower-like apparatus, and I want you to step into it. You don't have to take your clothing off. And you will notice that immediately an energy field completely cleanses your body of any electromagnetic dissonance. This would include any kind of viruses or bacteria or any creepy crawlies, anything you may have brought energetically that isn't quite for your highest good. There's a whole balancing array of energies that play on the body and the layers of consciousness that go all the way down to your subatomic particles, all the way out to your outer physicality. And you are balanced and cleared and aligned in this particular energy field. If there's any disease in the body, it's completely routed out by the replacing the missing harmonics in your energy field, your light and sound components. Now, there's a large mirror there, so when you step out of this cubicle, I want you to go and look at yourself. Look into your eyes. Look at your features. Look at your hair. And now just look at your entire physical body in its absolute perfection. This is your Adam Kadmon, your perfect, divinely manifested form. This is the body that is birthless and deathless. It's your super-duper special suit that you wear in worlds that you have to appear in an encasement that can be seen. But it also has the ability to change and morph into any appropriate manifestation, say if you're going to go to a world where they have a very different type of form. You could modulate this particular body. Anything within the Adam Kadmon. The Adam Kadmon, of course, is the patterning of the Metatron Tree of Life, the perfect balancing, the perfect weights and measures, the gematria, the divine energetic signatures numerically encoded that enable you to manifest the perfection that Elohim originally spoke you forth as the living word and as the living light. So move around, dance if you want in front of the mirror. Feel how liquid your body flows. There's no pain, there's no disease anywhere, there's no constriction. It's almost like your body is living light, which it is. And yet it appears as a beautiful human form. There's a very interesting toilet there, which you might want to enjoy. Just for the sake of the novelty of it, you can sit on it. And in the process of relieving yourself, the toilet automatically cleans your bottom. How cool is that? Only it's warm. Warm and fragrant and powdered and completely dematerializes anything that you pass from your body. How wonderful is that, and how wonderful will that be when, in the future, the new Earth has these same type of technologies, which it will have. So when you're finished enjoying all of those things, let's go and give another look around your living module. You can see that you can also look outside the window. It's not really the window. It's like the whole side of the ship, if you want it to be, becomes translucent. So it feels like you're right out in space. Or that weirds you out, you can also close it so that you don't see outside the ship if you feel more protected, having no, nothing showing up outside your window. Also, you'll notice that there's accommodation for your spouse, your children, your family, you know, people have different size families, and that's all accounted for and accommodated also within your living quarters. the living quarters have the ability, again, of expanding to enable you to accomplish and accommodate what you need within your living space. And you will notice that when you come here, everything you need has a way of being there for you as you need it. Again, it has to do with your expectation and what you really need. So you're going to be learning how to live that way upon the earth, too, for the remainder of the time that you have here, by recognizing that you always have at hand what you need. Even if you don't realize it, just be aware that you always have at hand what you need. You have sufficient food, sufficient water, sufficient energy, sufficient resources, sufficient whatever it is that that moment calls for. You have it. And as you learn to live in that state, the universe rearranges itself to absolutely accommodate that expectation, because that is your right as a divine child of God. So now we're going to be going into a gathering. This is a meeting for the ground crew and the light workers of the Ashtar Command and light workers in general. There are many, many Starfleet groupings. They all come in under what's been called the Galactic Confederation, the Galactic Federation, the Council of United and Peaceful Worlds. We have many, many kinds of cover names. I say Ashtar Galactic Command because that's what I've grown with since forever, so I just stick with that name. But whatever you call it, we all come under the same, let's say, the same banner. And we're here to help ascend the planet Earth and this whole solar system and this whole galaxy into the next spiral of evolution. So whatever you call it, it's known by its love and its vibration of peace. That's how you can tell us. We have the energy signature of great peace and great love. So follow me down the hallway, and we come to another one of those large cylindricals, and we step into it. And it forms like a little ascension globe. And we're transported to the next layer of this immense city-sized ship. In fact, if you have to go from one place to another, this globe, which is like an elevator, simply transports you. It's like a form of Merkaba, actually. It just transports you wherever you need to go so that you don't have to think about walking or anything like that. We're very high-tech. Spiritual technology of light and consciousness. So now you find yourself coming to rest and exiting onto an area that leads into a very, very large auditorium and rotunda. It's huge. And you'll notice that down in the center there's a raised dais where a variety of speakers usually address the ground crew. Could be Lord Sananda, could be Ashtar, could be a panel, could be any number of people. This is very familiar to many of you, I know, because you've been here so many times. So I'm going to be modulating some of the communiques that the command would like to share with you this evening. It's kind of a preparation for some of the things that you'll be encountering in the physical in the fairly near future, if not now. And there are things we want you to be aware of, and also for you to register consciously something that's already taken place at a higher level that I am just bringing to your conscious awareness now, but it will trigger the knowing and the recall for some of you of dreams, very vivid dreams you've had, or prophetic visions, or just a sense, an intuitive sense of knowing that, wow, where did I hear that? It's because we're not in the dimension of time aboard ship. But when you're back in time, when you're Earth focus, it seems like when you've been up with us, it just happened. But in truth, it could have happened at any point in your earth walk, and the moment you recall it, it becomes activated as here and now and present. It's difficult to describe the experience of moving from timelessness back to time, but you'll catch the drift of it as you move in and out of these levels more consciously. So from now on, until you are safely delivered within the higher vibrations of the new earth, there's going to be continuing ongoing series of labor-like waves that accompany this process. And this communication is from Commander Ashtar, whom you will see now materializing on the dais. He's in his form that he appears to you in most often when he's on Earth. He modulates everything from a spherical light body that you can barely discern a figure in, to a pretty human-looking man. And right now he's in his in-between stage. He's about seven feet tall. His hair is almost white. It falls to his shoulders. His eyes are an aquamarine blue, slightly almond, almost slightly oriental, which actually is a characteristic of our Venusian race, which he is a Venusian. And we have very high cheekbones, and that gives us a sense of kind of having slightly slanted eyes. But actually, it's just the cheekbone, the way the cheekbone sits, causes the eyes to have that slight slant. They're very, very clear blue and very beautiful. You can just kind of fall into eternity when you look in his eyes. He wears a suit that fits his body like a second skin, and it's a very kind of a light silvery color. You'll see the Ashtar Command insignia on his left shoulder, and he has boots. He really likes boots, but the boots again fit into the body of the suit. They're part of the suit. The suit opens and closes, not with zippers or anything, but with the passing of the hands, where you materialize and dematerialize the connecting atoms, as it were, that hold the suit together. Difficult to describe, but you'll catch the drift as you play with your own suit. If you look down, you'll see that you have a similar garment on yourself. There is a belt that has a translator. It's a device that looks like a series of moving light patterns, and all he has to do is move his hand over that, and he can translate and understand any galactic language that's being spoken. It sort of adjusts his inner consciousness to the frequency patterns of transmission of communiques from other worlds and other beings. You'll notice a lot of the space commanders that appear to you have that unusual looking kind of device in their belts. So this is basically the transmission that he is giving telepathically, and it's blended with my consciousness, since these are some of the things that I speak about and he and I together speak about. So some of these things may be slightly familiar to you, and some of these things you'll recognize as being his more of his direct communique. So he is saying that similar to labor pains, in the beginning of labor, the pains are spread wide apart. He said in the exact same manner, the earth changes that had been happening up until now were separated by some years, and now they're going to be separated more by months. And then it'll be a time when it's like weekly, and then by a few days, and then daily, and then every few hours, and then hourly, and then to where in the final moving, as we are translocated into the higher dimensional birthing of consciousness that we call the new Earth and the new solar system and the new galaxy, they will be so rapid that You won't even have a time to adjust or to think. It's just like bam, 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 boom, and suddenly you're through. Now, how quickly this will go in time, we're not real sure, because the Earth is rather unique in this particular ascension process. So nobody within the hierarchy, within the Ashtar command, anybody at all, even God Almighty, really does not know exactly how it's going to play out, only that it's going to be similar to a birthing. It's going to be wonderful, and you're going to be immensely, joyfully delivered into a new state of being. If you just hang in there and keep doing what you're doing, loving and serving and having trust and faith in the higher order of things, all will be well. So you're in that cycle now when there's an escalation of the changes that have to take place to prepare human consciousness and the Earth for total transformation. Everything is going to be transformed. Nothing will be the same. This is the official end of life such as you know it. This ended some time ago. I mean, you know, even before in the United States, President Obama was elected to office, already we were seeing that there was changes in our country of America that would make it like it never had been before. And I think that's probably true of many, many places in the world. You've just had tremendous changes where life is just not like it has been before. Now, because of the acceleration of these energies, people are going to react in the best of ways and the worst of ways. So that we're seeing acts of selfless heroism and people suddenly really awakening and becoming enlightened and just doing incredibly wonderful things. And we're also seeing almost a desperate fighting for survival and the basis of bestial characteristics. I wouldn't call them human characteristics, but subhuman behavior. So you're seeing both spectrums. Those who are borderline psychotic, are really challenged with these changes, because sometimes the abruptness and the shockingness of the world events right now are just pushing them over the edge. So in these cases, people are very, very lovingly dealt with on the inner planes. So not to worry. You know, we can only lose the illusion. We can never lose the truth. We can never lose who we are. Just the dramatics of the illusion field can be lost, but nothing real or true is ever lost or ever threatened. So have courage with that if you know people or have loved ones that seem to lose it at this time. There's a really fine line between genuine visionary mysticism and the schizophrenic state. It's so fine that without a solid foundation of spiritual practice and discipline and balance in one's nature, it's very easy to slip into schizophrenia and psychotic states. That's why, as a teacher, I have stressed through the years the importance of not delving into the occult or pushing psychic or spiritual development in any way. Don't force any kind of kundalini opening or any kind of a third eye opening or anything like that. If you're not in the care and supervision of a bona fide spiritual master, just, you know, keep it really simple. Just do very, very simple devotional practices and wait until, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. So don't worry about it if you don't have a particular master that has physically stepped forward to take responsibility for your physical training. Again, everything you need arrives at the perfect time. And if it's not in your life, it means you don't need it right now. When you need it, it'll be there. But don't mess around with psychic occult things in these times. Just stay out of there. Next, without personal coping protocols and stress management disciplines in place, it's really easy to succumb to mental and emotional breakdowns of various kinds. So it's important that you take care of yourself. Don't vex your spirit. In other words, don't hassle yourself. Don't sweat the small stuff. Find ways not to worry. You know, worry is about the most non-productive thing you could possibly do. Haven't you noticed that everything you worry about never happens anyway? It just never happens. Something else might happen, but never what you really are worried about. So train yourself to trust, have faith, resource God, and don't worry. In fact, I'm going to give you a simple little technique that I used years ago. It worked really well for me. Get yourself a little pretty colorful pot, a little container, small one, doesn't have to be too big. And when you have something that's really bothering you, that you're worried about, afraid about, dread, whatever, write on a slip of paper to the Lord, Dear Jesus, I am afraid of this situation in my life. I'm turning it over to you. Please handle it according to what's for my highest good. And sign your name and date it. Fold that little piece of paper and stick it in that pot. That's your worry pot, your prayer pot, your releasing it to the Lord pot. And then after about 6 months, it's fun to empty the pot out and read your notes and see how the Lord has worked out every single one of those situations. If you do that and you keep track of that, like I did, you will notice how faithful the Lord is to meet you exactly at the point of your need, at exactly the point that you need that need to be met. So, again, prioritize your spiritual life, get connected to God, and stay connected. And if you have not accepted the gift of salvation offered by Jesus, do so immediately. Because, again, he is not going to violate your free will. And if you have not invited him to be the Lord of your life and to take charge of your spiritual life and to direct and teach you, he's not going to push himself on you. So accept the gift of salvation offered by Jesus. Then you know that you know that you know that you're covered. You're going to be taken care of by him, you're going to be taught by him, you're going to be taken to the highest divine realms of spirit. And since he is the only master that has conquered death through the power of his spirit, Holy Spirit, and lives still, he's not in his grave like all the other saints and sages and avatars, he lives. So you have a living master, which is most important, and a master, the only one that I know of, who has absolutely promised to take you home to the highest God realms, to the Father himself, and has promised to meet you at the moment of your death. So put yourself in his hands and go with him. That's his job, take you home. And the next thing that's really important, I think, is to get into a spiritual community that shares the highest spiritual values and provides you with fellowship and mutual support. I think a good church family is immensely valuable. And for your overall mental, emotional, and spiritual health, I think it's vitally important that you have a faith and a family of faith around you at this particular time. In fact, they say that the research they've done is that if you attend a place of worship 1 to 3 times a week, it will add 7 years to your life. That's just really interesting. It's a perfect cycle of 7. So it's very important for stress control, stress management, and also for the support we all need to get through these times. Next, I advise, and we advise, to let go of personal possessiveness. You know, where the heart lies, there lies your treasure. And where you're invested in terms of your attachment, that's where you're going to have to stay. So be attached only to the eternal things of God and to God, and you don't have anything to worry about. Because everything that's material is temporary. It's all going to go. We've seen how overnight the stock market can wipe out all your savings. Overnight a bankruptcy can wipe out, you know, take out your home, your possessions. Everything can vanish. We had tornadoes here in Southern California the other day, and a tree fell on a couple people and they died. You know, just bam, who expects a tornado in Southern California? I mean, we don't have them here, only in the movies. So, again, anything can happen at any time to anyone, and you need to live loose, let go of material things, and be attached only to the things that you can take into eternity, which is your love and your loving and your spirituality. Personal belongings, again, they're going to go. Anything of this world that can be swept away is going to be swept away in the times that we're in now. So it's good to practice living detached and to really prioritize what's of value in your life, your relationships, your family, your loved ones, but most of all, your relationship and your love for God. Prioritize loving those who are in your life now, for you have no guarantee of tomorrow. None of us do. So be quick to forgive, quick to overlook grievance, quick to let go of any kind of againstness that you may have towards anyone, and quick to say, I'm sorry, quick to say, I love you, and live now. Live today. Love today. Live today so fully that it's every moment you're aware and you're fully participating in your life. Wear those special outfits. Use that cherished china. Express your love lavishly. And please, it's time for us all to drop playing ego distancing games. You know, when you play the old distance, you know, I'm ignoring you, I don't want to even acknowledge your presence. When you go into that kind of game, really what you're doing is covering up and masking a fear of rejection. That's, you know, just an ego thing. Let it go. In your communications with people, be direct, honest, and sincere. Drop all pretense, all sarcasm, all cynicism, and other ego ploys. And just be present and live and speak from your heart. Just be a transparent, loving, pure-hearted being. And you'll find that really, really works well for you. And then you can live without regret. Make up before you go to bed. Never let the sun set on any kind of an anger or dispute that you have with anyone. Immediately forgive them, even if they don't reciprocate. Forgive them anyway in your heart, in your mind, and let it go. Personal ego-attached love is always going to hurt. That's how you can tell personal ego love from the selfless love of the Christ heart. So it's time, actually, for every one of us to grow up and to mature our love and to seek to love rather than to just look for someone to love us. You know, like St. Francis taught, that we could love and not just seek and demand love from others. So it's time for us to mature in many, many ways to really take the most advantage of the time that we're entering into now, which is a time to give first and freely without expecting anything in return. How hard it is to do that, isn't it? We all want to think we're going to be acknowledged in some way or get some payoff, but all of that is the false self. You know, that's not the Christ self. So we're learning to identify the Christ self and to live from that state. You know, it doesn't take the whole planet to awaken. It only takes about 5% of the population to seed something of value, and only 27% to create an unstoppable momentum. And I think we have more than that much going now on the planet in terms of active goodwill, active desire to see the highest good for all mankind unfold. So we're well on our way within that quantum shift that we all want to see. The tragedies and the calamities and the earthquakes or other natural disasters are not acts of God. I don't know where we get the idea that God destroys and kills. This is actually an oxymoron because you cannot put the giver of life and death in the same sentence, or the giver of all good things and destruction in the same sentence. They just don't work. Why do we think that God is angry and vengeful and wrathful and is out to punish us? It's because people who are not enlightened and were not enlightened in the past created an anthropomorphic mother-father punitive kind of coloration over the idea of God. So we think in our minds all the time that God is sitting with this book writing down, you know, all the bad things we're doing and plotting how he's going to exert wrath and destruction and punishment on us all. So again, this is a human mindset creating a God after their own image and likeness rather than understanding that God is spirit and God is unconditional love and eternal life. God is not a father in the sense of here, most of us don't have I can't say that for myself, but many of us do not have a father figure or a father figure that we would want God to be like in any way, shape, or form. So that's not actually a very workable paradigm for us to operate out of now. So let's realize that God is a spirit. It's not a man or a woman. It is the spirit of life and goodness. And can only do good and life-promoting things. And is not there counting up all your sins and planning to punish you. So acts of God are not acts of God at all, but they're due to the natural cause and effect of energies. And it's more of the law of reciprocity. As you give, as you put forth, so you return in like manner. You receive a return in like manner. So negativity always attracts destruction. It's interesting, you know, when you have an animal in nature that's very, very sick and sickly and weak, all of nature will attack that animal and take it out. Weakness is always attacked in nature. Think about it. Yeah, the weak do not survive. So, likewise, a body that is not healthy, that's not supported by its own immune system, which is your desire to live, begins to self-destruct. Disease comes from lack of ease. Why are you in a lack of ease? Because you're living in a disharmony with your divinity. So disharmony with divinity is negativity, which invites destruction, whether it's a person or an area or a nation or whatever it is, or planet. A planet that's predominantly negative attracts destruction by asteroids. Interesting, huh? Or polar shifts, which is like the Earth trudging and getting rid of the fleas on its back. So, planets have consciousness. They get tired of it. They will shrug their shoulders, have a massive earthquake, and get all the fleas off their back. So the best survival technique is being positive, living out of that heart space, being joyful, creating such a wonderful, loving, harmonious vibration that the earth is really happy to have you on it and really happy to have your presence. And the angels keep you company, the David and nature spirits come and look out for you. And just like they looked out for Jacob when, Elijah, when he was in the, when he was running to escape the wicked Jezebel and her corrupt husband, Ahab, and He ran out into the wilderness and hid himself in a cave. The ravens came and fed him bread and meat every day. He was fed by ravens, for heaven's sakes. So, you know, what I'm saying is that all of nature will protect and shelter and take care of you if you are a loving and good person that's living in harmony with divinity. So, to our ground crew, your very biggest challenge is to keep awake, aware, spiritually centered, and keeping your emotional body under control. So use every technique that you know to stay and remain positive, joyful, inspired, and to seek out every opportunity to be kind and loving and to contribute good. Whatever possible thing you can do to create goodness in your home, in your neighborhood, in your environment, do that. That's the best thing to do. And then you'll find that you're living in what's called a state of grace. That's very easy to be translocated and slipped into the next dimension, which is exactly what's happening with you at this time. So I want to look at an area that we take a little bit too lightly that's extremely important, and that's irritation and anger. In the Course in Miracles, Jesus likened a mild irritation as a thinly veiled murderous rage. And in the Bible, Jesus likened anger to murder. Same thing. So what can start out as a little irritation can escalate in a nanosecond to a murderous rage. And so we have to train ourselves. This is a passion of the mind. Anger is a passion of the mind that absolutely must be put out if we are to really be able to harbor the higher vibrations. How to do that? Sai Baba has given several very good ways to conquer anger. First, to go silent, to zip your mouth and not to exchange angry retorts with another. One of the two angry people must leave the scene and immediately cease speaking. Then he says that you should drink some cold water and lie down for a few moments and breathe deeply. Because generally, you start to hold your breath and clench your fists or tighten up when you're angry. Sai Baba has said that 1 minute of anger poisons your bloodstream for 3 months and wipes out all of the spiritual energy that you generated through 3 months of spiritual practice. That sounds really extraordinary to me, but I believe him. So it's not worth it. Whatever gets your goat, get over it and tie that goat up, but don't allow anger to poison your bloodstream and rob you of the spiritual vitality that you have built up through your spiritual practices. So, again, we must forgive if you wish to be forgiven. That's the spiritual law that Jesus taught in the Bible, that if you want to be forgiven, you must first forgive. And so anger and hatred and forgiveness and all of that cannot pass into the higher dimensions. It's impossible for us to beam up or to do any kind of saving work for a person who is in a state of anger and hatred. We just have to pass right over that energy field. There's nothing we can do with it. So such states as anger and hatred and unforgiveness, this is a form of suicide, which is a crime against life itself. So don't go there. Also work to overcome prejudice in any form against anyone. Have no prejudice against any race, any color, any creed, nothing. Train yourself to see the one God in and as everyone. So it's not possible for the spiritual masters, the hierarchy, for the Ashtar Command to make your choices for you. Your personal self-management is up to you. We can only advise what you need to cultivate if you wish to experience a positive ascension into the new earth and into the higher realms of more advanced consciousness. So we repeat, in every instance that we get the chance to speak to you, that only loving goodwill towards everyone is going to raise your personal vibrations sufficiently to land you at least in the next higher classroom of life. Now, the next higher classroom of life would be just at the doorway of the highest part of the fourth dimension. That would be minimally where you would land. And hopefully we can move most of you into the fifth dimension, which means you must be able to embody and sustain and maintain consistent love and steady light. And that's what we call, and you call, Christ consciousness. But you know, we really wonder how many of you have any idea what that means. Practically speaking, it means that you are to live just like your great way shower, Jesus, in every way you can possibly imagine. Jesus is your model, as he is also ours. We call him here aboard ship Lord Sananda, or Emmanuel, or Jesus, because that is the name that he's known throughout the heavens as well as upon earth. But it's very important that he be your guide and your way shower. There is no higher and more perfect representation of the perfection that God wishes each human being to move into but Jesus the Christ. He is the archetype of all that we are designed to be. So bestow goodness with every act, every glance, every thought, and do works of kindness and goodness and peace in every situation, no exceptions. Now, for those who are hell-bent on creating mayhem and murder and warfare and criminal acts and are acting out great distress, it's our duty to pray for their spiritual awakening. Pray that they will have dreams and experiences of God's love that will stop them in their tracks and transform their hearts. That is how we have to pray. For people who are vested in terroristic acts and who hate certain races and want them destroyed and wiped from the earth and have great vengeance towards different religions or different nations or different cultures, we have to pray for them. Because every manifestation of willful desire to harm another is evil, and that will be destroyed. None of that will be able to pass into the higher dimensions. So it's very, very important that we pray for all of our brothers and sisters that they can awaken from any kind of a doctrinal indoctrination that would cause them to hate others and act unlovingly and wish harm. Now, Commander Soltek, who is a solar physicist, has a few things he wants to say that I am going to quote him on here. It's his job in his Phoenix Command. He has a large technical, techno world that he has gathered around him in the form of his spaceship, the Phoenix. And he's been really researching with his team of commanders the ramifications of this moving from a unitary sun into a binary sun system, which we're doing, and also witnessing our sun go through a cosmic initiation and the ramifications that that has upon our weather systems, our consciousness, and just life in general. So he's wanting me to tell you that the solar flare emissions that we're going to be having this year and into the next several years will cause major, major anomalies in the electromagnetic fields, in the weather, and in the electrical grids of Earth that they can't exactly tell you how or to what extent, the effects will be, but just know that they're going to be so extraordinary that there's a possibility that at some point the entire electrical grid will crash. I mean, can we imagine what it would be like to be with a world in a world in which all the electronics suddenly stopped working? I mean, wow. We had better be living from the inner technologies of spirit by then, or we're in for, you know, deep trouble. So the consciousness we have is governed very much by the sun, as well as the weather, as well as the energy systems of our body, the growth cycles of the plants. Everything is tied in to the interaction that we have with the sun. So you might want to give some thought, not in like a meditation, but in a consideration of, wow, what if? What if you only had your intuition to rely upon? And suddenly you didn't have a cell phone or any phone, and you didn't have access to TV or computers, no lights, no electricity. So what would you do? It's better to think about that now. So if or should this occur, you won't be totally unprepared. These are things that we have a little tiny window of time to consider. That I think is, and the command thinks it's very wise to give some thought to. Kind of like planning an escape route if you need to evacuate. Right now we're having flood warnings where this particular physical body is parked. And every few minutes we look out the window to see if the water has risen to where we need to lift some furniture up or whatever. So you always have to be aware of what could happen. And have a plan somewhere that you can work out quickly without having to think about it if the need arises. So the melting of the ice caps is one of the things that's happening, not so much by global warming as it is by the electromagnetic impact of solar emissions, which is shifting the balance of the earth, which at some point will go from a hot summer and a cold winter to the new earth, which will be more of a temperate overall climate. But in the meantime, with the rise in the ocean levels, there is going to be in the near future the need to evacuate and vacate certain areas. And most people know where those areas are because there's already some concern about it. But there's also a lot of denial. And we want to practically give you a heads up on this, that low-lying islands, global coastlines, and certain cities and areas that are below sea level or at sea level, and even some nations, very likely are going to be submerged in the not-too-distant future. So, again, give some thought to what if, and what could be done now when you have some time to do something about it. And there again, some people don't care because they know they're going to be beamed up or lifted out or something's going to happen, so they're not really concerned about it. But if you're concerned about it, or if you're a city planner or somebody who has responsibility for that area, you might begin to consider what to do with your population should you need to relocate them. So what we have on this planet learned to think of as national sovereignty and the sovereignty of certain national borders, all this is going to start to dissolve and unravel as these masses of people will need to be absorbed and resettled elsewhere. Here in the United States, New Orleans and Galveston, Texas, has given us recent examples of this, where whole, you know, thousands of people had to be absorbed and relocated into other communities, from New Orleans, for example. So, again, another thing we're going to see escalate from 2010 onward is intense volcanic activity along the Ring of Fire and elsewhere. So this will also cause a need for massive relocations, as well as a need for finding ways to produce food, foods that are not dependent upon a stable and dependable weather pattern. So this is an area for you agro-scientists to really focus upon. The greatest needs we're going to have in the human situation on Earth in the next few years is water, number one, food, a way to have sustainable food production, shelter, medical care. These are the areas that we mainly need to focus our inventive and creative ability into. And when the Bible says that we will beat our swords into plowshares and we will learn of war no more, I suggest that we start to learn of war no more, because we're going to be so busy trying to take care of our people and survive during the times ahead, we're not going to have time to waste trying to bomb and kill other people. It's just not going to be anywhere on the radar of our attention very, very soon. So let's look at some of the ways that you may elect to lead this dimension of Earth. This is a very practical topic, so I don't want you to be afraid. Remember, there is no death. There's only a change of the house that you're living in and the room that you're focused into. Your body's like a house or like a suit of clothes, which you can put on or take off, but you still remain you. So some of you are in the last year or two of your Earth missions and will be departing sometime between now and 2012 or shortly thereafter. And you'll be returned to the place of your highest light or your home or dimension of origin. Some of you that volunteered to come here to be of service and you're finished with your work, you will be taken back to your home world, your home dimension. And a little bit beyond that dimension and that level of consciousness, because you earn some brownie points from coming here and being of service, of course. So give some thought about what you need to do to be complete with your life in this dimension. This is especially so in the case of very elderly light workers or those who are in such poor health that to regenerate the physical body enough to be able to be comfortable in the years ahead is just going to be too much of a hassle and you'd rather not have to deal with it. So that's an option for many of you. There are many younger members of the Galactic Command on Earth now, and more are arriving every single day. And these young people have the opportunity and the mandate to grow up fast and to give their best in the areas of their expertise. They're going to be extremely impatient with their infantile bodies, and don't get in their way. If they want to rule the world at 10 or go to Mars at 12, whatever, let them do. Facilitate. Let them go into universities early. Give them special schooling. Make way for them. Allow for them. And empower them so that they can give the gift that they have come into this dimension to give. These are brilliant geniuses in many cases. And this X generation of super kids were born for the times just ahead. So accommodate and make room and prepare for them because they're here and more on the way. Now, some souls on Earth who are already master souls will learn how to step in and out of this dimension, if they don't already know how to do so, by means of a densified astral body. In other words, they're moving actually into a vibrationally raised physical etheric body so that they can move in and out of the dimensions very easily. They can materialize and dematerialize their body and modulate their light field so that they can be in more than one world, more than one dimension. And this is a function of what I have spoken of in one of the previous shows called the epikinetic body. The epikinetic body is an energy body that's the extenuation of the subtle or astral body. And it contains the ability to levitate, to pass through solid objects, to do all sorts of supernormal things or supernatural things. And many of you have really perfected that body already, but you haven't really gotten practiced in how to use it and move with it. So begin to read up on it. The book by Dr. Hertak, The Five Bodies, is the best little booklet you can get. It's taken from the course. The Keys of Enoch, his magnum opus, his wonderful book on the ascension of the earth and the ascension of consciousness. He's taken the material about the five bodies, which are the, again, the outcropping and the extension of the existing bodies that you have already, the vehicles of light, physical, astral, mental, the soul, and the monadic bodies. And he's described how they operate. And we are all working and developing these bodies. So some of us have one or two or three or more of them developed already. But if you don't know you've got them, you don't know how to practice operating in them. So get the little book, The Five Bodies, that's put out by Dr. Hertak and the Academy of Future Science, and check it out. And, you know, increase your awareness of some of the equipment you've already got installed, and maybe you don't know how to use it yet. So some of you may also, like Stephen Fawcett, have the invitation from interdimensional beings to step into their dimension while you're alive and go on living in another dimension of consciousness, which is what he says that he's done. So some of you may experience any one of these things or none of these things because we have free will. But here are some of the examples that I just wanted to share with you. Some of you may also experience the sudden shifting of the grids and find yourself in an alternate reality in which, for example, there are no catastrophic earth events occurring. I've had this happen to me when I was in an earthquake several times, where the Ashtar Command just slipped me into a slight dimensional just a slight shift out of that dimensional timeline, and then I was placed back after the earthquake had occurred. And so that happens to a lot of people, and it's also possible to stay in that other dimension and not to come back into this one. So there is the shifting of the grids. So again, Dr. Hertak mentions this in his book, The Keys, Keys of Enoch, The Book of Knowledge, that the masters of light at some point, in the diagram where he shows the dove, I think it's on page 41 in the Keys of Enoch, you'll see there's a diagram with a dove formation that's drawn over the North American continent, and that the masters of light would cause a higher dimensional wall of light to appear around certain areas of people marked for protection in the event of some nuclear exchange or other catastrophic event. And then he also shows throughout the whole planet the different areas marked by the Brotherhood, quote, quote, for deliverance. So there is a plan to put up walls of light that would separate you from, say, for example, devastating events that may occur or may not occur, but they may occur in the physical plane. So that's another factor. Some of you will be met by those extraterrestrials who brought you here and simply will be taken home. That's another possibility. So some of you may be contacted, met in some remote area, and escorted to a waiting shuttlecraft and taken home. Finished. Done. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Others of you may be beamed up from where you are. Again, if you're in a balanced state of consciousness and you're not freaked out or scared, you may be beamed up. Some of you may experience a rapture, like a sudden shift into a glorified, ascended light body that goes, that bypasses the codes of death in a what's called a twinkling of an eye, that the mortal body puts on immortality, is shifted from time to timelessness, snatched, which is what the original word for rapture means, means to be snatched, snatched away suddenly by the Lord. And if you study the biblical scriptures, the special people of God were always removed before destruction hit various areas. So it's safe to assume that if you are truly a godly person, and you're marked, if you have that mark that the scriptures mention, that the elect of the Lord are marked, you will qualify for this rapture, which we really don't know what it's going to be like, except it's going to be a glorious event. So if you are marked in your forehead, meaning the awakened spiritual consciousness is evident in your auric field, and your third eye and your pineal gland are opened, you will be taken out of this third dimensional world in some manner before the final purging and cleansing of all evil and negativity from its surface. My understanding is that we will not be in the world when any of that happens. My understanding is also that all of the prophetic signs are fulfilled. So this so-called ascension or snatching or being called away is actually, prophetically speaking, the next event to occur, which means it could occur in the next 5 minutes. It could occur at any time. So are you rapture ready? That's a good thing to think about. Are you rapture ready? And only those who are expecting and watching and looking for the Lord are going to see the Lord when he comes to rapture you. So keep watching, keep looking, keep expecting, keep praying, because that's the highest form of transfer, is the rapture. Again, some, in another variation, some souls may be taken into the Agartian communities of the inner earth civilizations. These would be people who are from those areas, from those civilizations. So bear in mind that all planets are hollow with a central sun and have inner terrestrial life. Why is that? Well, because obviously you can see from our moon, which was the previous life station, how many pockmarks it has. What are those pockmarks? Asteroids. And probably pockmarks from galactic and systemic wars, because there's been nuclear wars that were spoken about in the Vedic scriptures, the Ramayana. They had these horrible wars. And it rendered the surface of the planets in our solar system uninhabitable. So life, if it were to survive, had to either leave the planet and relocate elsewhere or go underground. So my understanding is that there's life in most of the planets in our solar system. Not all of them have dense physical life. So those that are not so highly evolved, they're actually more gaseous than physical, like Jupiter, for example, do have life on the inner surface, subsurface of the planet. So as you can see, our planet, the weather's getting so goofy. We'll probably have to go and live on the inner surface of the Earth, too, at some point. Again, how that's going to differ from the new Earth and the remaining third-dimensional globe of the Earth is hard to say. I don't know. I think probably this Earth will go along for another 3 billion years, and then it will probably be totally cleansed in fire, dissolved in fire, and remolded and re-prepared for another life wave and another time in the future. But only God knows that. So the main thing that we all want you to know in the Ashtar Command is that every one of you, your family, your loved ones, will be protected and taken care of. And even if you, during the translocation, are temporarily separated, know that you will be reunited with your loved ones. And just trust that. Just trust that the entire facilitation of the lifting, the trans-dimensional relocating, and your whole process of ascension and return to your places of origin is divinely orchestrated. We have ascended many, many, many worlds. Earth is just one of many that we have relocated. The rapidity of your ascension is difficult, is different for us, but it's not difficult. So you're in the hands of experts and all is well. So everything you truly need will be provided, and there's no need to feel anything but confident trust and joy. And that's very much what we had on our heart to share with you tonight. And I think I've gotten all the points that I needed to share with you from the various speakers that spoke at the conclave. Because we go out of time when we're on the ships, you may continue staying there and enjoying the ambience of the ship as I prepare now to go off the air. And probably I will just go and hang out with you the rest of the evening too. But before I return to my consciousness here, while I'm there with you aboard ship, and for many of you it's your night time, so you can just go from this session into your sleep and stay in your spiritual consciousness aboard ship. I wanted us to do a little light work for Haiti and the people there. So if you will come now and let's meet over in the right-hand corner of the rotunda. There's a very, very large oval table, and I'll meet you there, and I would like to direct us in a meditation. So seat yourself comfortably, and you'll notice in the center of the table there's a viewing lens. And we bring up on that lens the island nation of Haiti. And we place around it a beautiful golden globe of light. And we see the Lord Jesus, Ananda, in that globe of light. And we see with him the hosts of heaven, the angels, the Blessed Mother, and all of the most compassionate, nurturing, and loving beings that work with Jesus in his office of divine love, the office of the Holy Spirit, the office of the Divine Mother, the office of the Order of Melchizedek, and the office of the Christ. These great repositories of saving grace that minister to people in myriads of contexts and worlds. And first of all, we speak into the hospitals and the people who have had surgery done on them and who are in great pain. We see now that the pain is leaving their bodies by grace as we speak the love of God into every cell of their being, from the top of their heads, throughout their entire bodies. We ask that every man, woman, and child be given a vision of their eternal selves, of the love that God has for them, of the safety and provision, and help them in some way to know that this life is like a dream from which they will awaken to find that they've never left the heart of God. Those that have left and lost arms and legs and hands and feet, that have been severely maimed, we speak into them the vision that they have bodies, perfect and whole, that they will step into as soon as they depart this dimension. They will step into their whole bodies that are perfect and healthy and happy, and they will go on with the Lord in eternal life. We pray that every single man, woman, and child will have a direct encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be able to see him and know him. according to what would be the act of the most supreme grace, that out of this devastation, each person may truly experience and see the face of salvation. We pray strength, supernatural strength, miracles, and angelic intervention wherever there is an operation, wherever there is a intervention, wherever there is a rescue, wherever there is a wonderful event happening, a birth, something wonderful, we ask that will happen as the doctors and the nurses and the various medics work in serving these dear people. We pray that food that is supernatural and thirst quenching that is supernatural come to all of those who hunger and thirst, who are desperate in their needs. We speak peace and quietness and gentleness and love into the hearts of those who are frightened and separated and lost and don't know where their loved ones are. We speak the peace and the comfort of the Holy Spirit to each person that has gone through these traumas. And we ask that each one be given angelic visitations and dreams and a touch of God deep into their hearts. Let this be something so good that comes out of this, so wonderful, that the very soul, the very Christ conscious nature, the very high selves of each person are able to access their personalities in time and space and integrate more deeply. We pray that the whole nation of Haiti be filled with the glory of God and experience the love of God and the truth of God and the supernatural touch of God. We speak this benediction over this entire planet. Every single soul on this planet, we pray that they will have a touch of God's love. They will have a divine encounter in some way, in some form, that will be transformative for good, that hearts will open, that eyes will open, that visions and dreams and miracles bring forth the salvation and the revelation of God's perfect plan to each soul. We ask this of the Almighty Creator of all life, in the name of His perfected Messiah and Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen, 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 and amen. Take your palms now and send the light from the center of your heart, from the center of your mind, from the center of your perfect God, united will. Peace, light, love, and joy to all beings. And we'll go out chanting, and I, you, the chant of great love, empathy, and compassion. Deep breath. God willing, I will be with you next week, and I am Lady Commander Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, known in your world as Ashtar Athena Sharon. And this is the voice of the Ashtar Command. And we are an alliance of men and women from many worlds on a mission of peace and love to this planet and to a myriad of worlds. We are the celestial hosts of heaven that serve the one you know as Christ, Jesus, in his mission of love. And we wish each one of you on your way through life the love and the joy and the peace of God, which is your natural state and birthright. God bless you all. And God evening. Adonai.